Hi everyone, welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean.
It's episode 115, and we've got guests. Funny comedian, storyteller, poet. Yeah, you know, he does loads of his solo shows are real pieces of work.
Guest book signer.
He did a podcast every day of 2020. And it's Rob Orton. He's a very funny man. He's a very interesting man. You're in for a treat. And yeah, I'm still in Melbourne. Julian's still in London. What's the quick news headlines from London?
It's just beautiful, burning hot day, man.
Is it really?
To the outside pool. Yeah, it's lovely.
Oh, nice.
It's burning hot week. Nice.
Is it going to stay like that now? Is it going to go shy again?
This week's supposed to be sunny. Sunny things.
Oh, it's a lovely city in the sun,
it's
London,
nice,
isn't it?
Man.
Forget how everyone's just so much happier. You know what I mean?
Definitely true.
Yeah. It's like here, actually, at the minute, because there's a little lockdown in Melbourne. It's been going on for almost a week, and the weather's been a bit cold, and like you can just feel that little sort of loss of enthusiasm. And it's the same. It just shows how weather-dependent everything is. The sun's out, you don't give a shit about anything,
do you? I'm going to go and hit an outside pool in a minute and just put a towel down.
Just drown.
I hate it when I'm sunbathing and like my eyes are shut and you could keep hearing a ball being kicked. I can't relax. I think it's just going to spank me in the face.
Yeah. It's so embarrassing as well. Because you've got to like, what do you do if you get hit by a ball? Like,
I know. Get up all angry.
It's there probably just some young kids.
Might be on film.
Yeah. But if you don't, you know, if it's some little rude boys, you then got to just get into a, you know, you've got to act all
get
hard.
Get into a wrestling match.
Get stabbed on camera.
Taped off in about an hour by the police tape. The area. You were sunbathing. Where you were sunbathing is just a chalk outline. Hopefully they get the biceps in, you know what I mean?
This is your dying wish. Just your last words.
Add a little bit to the bicep.
Can you just make sure my dick outline looks good? Right. What we're saying is you're in for a treat. It's a lovely episode. And thanks to all our patrons who've signed up at patreon.com.
Thanks all new patrons.
/WeAreTVI.
You can't. Someone was trying to search /WeAreTVI.
Hang on a sec. It cut out there for a sec. Was that you or me that cut out? I'll edit this.
I didn't notice it.
But
cut
you
out.
Just as you said, somebody was trying to search it just on my end.
Somebody was
stopped.
Trying to search on Patreon for us, and you can't do it via the search because it's extreme adult XXX content. You have to put in patreon.com /WeAreTVI.
The stuff
R
that's
as
behind
in the word.
We are TVI, yes. But yeah, that's because there's a lot of X-rated material on our Patreon. It's just loads of videos.
Triple X.
Just yeah, we eat once a week. We each put a video of us knocking one out up there.
race.
Just so you'll know, there's not we don't want to put anyone off.
There's no
nudity.
Cops. Not yet.
It's just fun extra episodes, catch ups, and that's that. Right.
Thanks, everyone.
Kick back and enjoy episode 115.
Bye.
Rob Orton, comedian, poet, podcaster, show.
Yeah.
Performer.
Yeah.
That's all about. Have any other? What other things would you list on your? If you had to put a quick biog.
Meditation beginner.
Have you started meditating?
Well, just breathing, really.
you mean in a practice sense, not recently picked up the old breathing.
Yeah,
technique.
I was doing some before I came on here.
What sort do you do? Because we were joking about this with Rich Wilson about when people recommend it. It's a weird thing. I think meditation is very good, and I'd recommend it to most people. But there's a certain way of recommending it, isn't it? You know, some people recommend it as a sort of a fix all for everything, you know. So with Rich, we were talking about, you know, somebody tells you they've got cancer, you're like, have you tried meditating? And basically, but actually it should be much more broad and people should just say, oh, it's nice. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? So what sort of you, what sort are you doing?
Just breathing in for 7 seconds, holding my breath for 7 seconds, breathing out for 7 seconds.
Oh, that's a nice one.
And then holding it, and it's like a box. So you go, when you're breathing in, you think of the left-hand line on the box going up.
Yeah.
And then when you, and then across when you hold it, and then down when you breathe out, and then back across when you hold it, and back up. And
oh,
then
so that's you hold it. You hold twice in the box.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not heard that one because I've the one I do is.
I made it up.
Oh right, okay. Because one I do is breathe in for 4, so it's quite a big in breath. Right into the guts, 4 seconds, and then breathe out for 6, and then hold it for 8, and then sharp 4-second in-breath. It's not sharp. It's still like 4 seconds is quite long, but it's quite a big, all through your nose, in and out through your nose. Your mouth is not getting involved at all.
I do one where I breathe out for 1, in for 1, out for 1, and just pant like a dog and have a wank.
Oh, there we go. I knew you were planning something, just because the way you were sitting back and letting us have a really genuine conversation for about 2 minutes, I thought Julian's either hatching something or he's crashed and his camera's not showing
like
the right
thing. I quite like that 7 second one though. Like, I was kind of,
I like the sound of it, but the double breath hold sounds quite hard, especially on that after the. Yeah, hang on. So you breathe in, hold for 7, breathe out, hold for 7. That hold after breathing out sounds quite.
Like holding for 7 is hard, isn't it?
I mean, I should say it doesn't work.
Don't you do a rectangle shape and just hold for 2?
Doesn't a rectangle? What do you mean hold for 2? That'll just be a line back and forth.
No, because you breathe out for 7, hold it for 2, which is the little line.
2.
Back down for 7, then.
You just created a
2.
Number 7, like a number 7.
Oh.
I don't think we should, I think people like shouldn't try any of our tips.
just
to
go
clarify,
to Headspace.
We're not
on
experts.
No, but I was reading Limmy's autobiography.
Yeah.
And he was saying that basically what he does is that he just thinks about breathing and breathes, and any other thing that he thinks about, he just thinks about breathing more.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
does
yeah.
That minutes.
And as the other thoughts come in, as long as you're aware of them, you're like, oh yeah, I should be thinking about breathing. You just go back, bringing it back to
it?
Your breathing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that sort of breathing-based meditation tends to be that, just always return to the breath. But
yeah, exactly.
It is good. That sort of it's a really good book called Breath. I'm sure I've probably talked about
it
on here
stinks.
Before.
The reviews are in. It stinks.
It's about,
mate.
Julian's breath. They
want to have a mint, bro.
But it's by a journalist called James Nestor. It's really good. It's about him having. He had the same thing I had, which was a deviated septum. I forget how hard it is to have a genuine conversation.
Sorry.
No, don't apologise. It's part of the charm of the podcast, but it does cause me great distress. it's about him. He had the same thing I did, which I got fixed. And he just learns all these breathing techniques. And I'm fascinated by it because it does. I do it when I walk. I do it when I'm out and about. And I'm just sort of, imagine I've got to walk somewhere for 20 minutes. Use that 20 minutes just to do the breathing, and it makes you, and you have to focus on it a bit to get the timing right, and you've basically done 20 minutes
well.
Of meditation while walking in a sauna. Yeah, that's probably a good place to do a bit of breathing exercise.
I was in the sauna for so long yesterday that I started to get chilly, and I thought, I think it's time to get out.
What, had the water gone cold, or were you just in there for
no,
so
it was,
long?
It was
started?
Sweltering hot, like. And I could feel my heart beating, like my whole body was just going boom, boom. And I started to go goosebumpy. And I think it was, overdid it a little bit.
Did you have water in there? Were you hydrated?
Yeah,
hydrated?
I had water, yeah.
Right. It's Yeah, that's probably that's a bad sign. You should see a doctor, mate.
Walking's actually, because I mean, we live in Apnea at the moment, and just in Victoria Park over lockdown, it's been pretty busy, and you know, walking can sometimes be quite a stress reliever, can't it? But there was one time over lockdown when I was just walking and kind of cut across these people who were, we were about at the same, walking at about the same pace, and then we walked into the field, and then I just heard them say, "Oh God, what is wrong with people?" I was like, you know, and then
you
I was thinking about
and
range.
Go back home.
Like, well, and that is kind of people's go-to thing at the moment of what is wrong with people. It's kind of gutting.
It's the go-to catchphrase of this year.
Do you find, because obviously in their minds, you cut across their path, right? So they think, what's wrong with you for cutting across their path? Because I'm somebody who doesn't get annoyed about that shit. I find it hard to ever get into those people's minds. You know, like, I've heard people tut when I've just stopped to look at something in a shop window and they're walking behind me. And, like, you know, they get annoyed that I've stopped in front of them. But, like, I'm looking in a shop window. I've not just stopped for no reason.
It's not like you're going
to
go.
I didn't just literally stop to stand still in the street. I'm looking at something that is there to be looked at. So
it's
like,
not like you're going to see something in a shop window for, I better not look at that because the people behind me.
The whole point of shop windows is to make
fucking
you
walk
look.
Walk around me, you buffoon.
So when people get annoyed about that, like, I don't get me wrong, I think you're allowed to get a little bit begrudged. Sometimes if you're walking down a pavement and there's a group walking in line and they're holding up the whole pavement, you can't get around. I think you're allowed then to be like, come on. But I'm not going to get stressed about it. But I find it hard to get into that head frame of people, the headspace of people that genuinely go like, fucking, what's wrong with people? Because somebody literally
inside
walked across your path. Like, what is wrong with those people? I suppose it's the question.
What's wrong with those people?
people, the irony.
We were actually quite a long way away from them. Like, because in deepest, darkest lockdown, I was like more nervous than the average person, I think. So we were keeping a distance, but again, I often think people are talking about me when they're not. So they could have just been having a conversation.
What the fuck you say? You got a fuck? I mean, no, nothing.
There is. I mean, if you were far away, there is every chance they were. One of them was telling a story to the
Would
other
you
one
say,
about
bitch?
Being wronged. It's a hard one. I think I told it on here about a month ago. Somebody screamed at me out of a car window because I was crossing the road, not at an official crossing, but it was two-way traffic and both were almost stationary. So it was like, why would I walk 100 metres down where I can literally walk through essentially stopped cars or cars that
walk
were...
Walk over their car.
Well, you know what I mean? The way this woman reacted was as if I was doing that, as if I was doing a fucking
just
Starsky
walked,
and Hutch across
backs,
her bonnet
got in
or something.
One side and just walked across the seats and got out the other.
I was just walking and she's literally out of an open window went, there's a fucking crossing down there, like that. And I burst out laughing because I found it so extreme that, like, it was such an overreaction. I started laughing and then she got even more annoyed that I was laughing at her. But, like, I was like, I genuinely couldn't understand. I laughed because what else are you going to do? Like, I'm not going to get annoyed about that. I think she's had a psychotic episode, essentially.
What does give a fuck if someone's walking?
Yeah, but she's not the police.
I think about that as a general theme as well. You know, you said, I laugh because what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I probably started doing comedy and shows, just because pretty much everything, even the worst stuff around, it's like, what are you meant to do? Take this seriously.
Yeah.
I agree. I think I sort of think I was always drawn to comedy for the fact that I find most things funny. Even bad stuff that happens to me, eventually I find it really funny. The worst thing
it's a coping mechanism, isn't it? Like,
but
it's
I don't
a good
just think
one.
It's a coping mechanism. I think ultimately it is quite funny, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because, like, you know, there's comedy in even the worst shit that's happened to me. You know,
well, I mean, talking about that, I saw that video of you on doing the gala when you said that you had piles.
Yeah.
And I had them. And
did you, what ones did you have there? Did you have the big ones that poked out or just the itch? The itchy scratches.
Just the itch.
Yeah. It's a word. It is full on, isn't it?
But, yeah, it is. But it's like, I've never done Class A drugs, but I feel like when I was having a hot shower, the ecstasy of that feeling was like as close to crack or something, you know, like Renton's on Trainspotting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like me, but I was just in the bath laying down facing upwards. But
you having a hot shower laying in the bath?
No.
I think we were creating an image of putting the shower hose straight onto your bum hole.
That's what I had in my mind. With or without piles.
No, well, there is that thing, isn't there? Is that like a tropical bath or something? Where
you don't need piles to have a good time, that's what I'm saying.
It's your old catchphrase. Have you seen those, what's the thing? Have you seen, it's like, you know, one of these hippie things that I sort of take the piss out of, but ultimately I wouldn't mind doing. But this is the women's one, where women basically sunbathe with their legs open to get sun on their bits.
Whoa. Get a bit of D.
Well, yeah, yeah. Apparently it is like, and there's photos of women doing it.
On their fannies?
Yeah, so they sort of hold their legs open and just receive the sun.
What, the warmth feels nice on
there? Well, it's meant to be a hippie thing of getting,
genitalia.
You know, getting the sun's rays onto your genitalia.
I wonder if it's good for it, maybe.
I weirdly listened to a podcast by accident. I didn't listen to, basically, I listened to one with that James Nestor who wrote that book called Breathe, and then it just played the next episode of the podcast that he was on, and it's like a sort of health and fitness podcast in LA, and they talk about just like, the next guest was talking about ice baths and all these weird biohacking things, and one of the things he said was a red light that like basically recreates the sun's light at sunset and sunrise, which apparently has a special type of ray that is good for the body. He talked about how he used to put it on his dick and balls to increase his testosterone. So, and he's convinced that, he said, the science backs him up. So then, I suppose there must be something.
Is that where testosterone's made, in your balls, is it, or is that?
In the sun.
In the sun.
Is it?
I don't know. But apparently, weirdly, since I've heard that podcast, a friend of mine, who I won't name, he's in comedy, he told me that he sunbathes naked.
How is Jimmy, all right?
It's Jimmy McGee. He won't mind, he'll never listen to this, but Jimmy McGee sunbathes naked on his balcony. And he said,
ground floor.
Sorry, on his neighbour's balcony. And he said when he does feel more like, you know, I don't know, it does give him this pep up when he's had a bit of sunshine on his bits. He's not going to be happy if he finds out I've said that.
I don't love being naked, even on my own.
On your own?
Yeah,
what I don't. What about in the shower?
I mean, yeah, the shower I am. Like, just, I don't sleep
just get
naked.
Get your swimming costume on. What's your, I mean, this wouldn't be a judgment, a bad judgment, but Rob, you don't strike me as somebody who's mad about being naked.
No, like naked swimming and stuff like that's probably not going to happen to me in my lifetime.
Especially like in the sea or something. I feel like something's going to bite my willy or something.
Oh, no.
Something's going to bite you in the sea, mate. You think a pair of fucking swimming trunks is going to help?
I know, but my massive, thick, dangly willy, man, is just a target for these sharks, bro.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
I'm not cold light switch.
You've never skinny dipped then or any of that business?
No, but we were just up in the Yorkshire Dales, got back yesterday, and there was a river, and put my feet in that. But it was all like proper sharp stones.
Yeah.
At the bottom. And I think if it was all just a smooth surface on the bottom of the any type of river or anything like that, you know, I'm thinking like a tie-up floor, you know, like a swimming pool.
Yeah.
If it was a man-made pool, yeah,
you're describing a swimming pool. That's
yeah. But no, I a lot of my problems come from the unknown bottom of the
It's just terrifying, isn't it?
It is,
yeah. To see,
because things are fucked up in there as well. Aren't they?
Sharp stones. I've seen the damage that they can do to your feet, and I kind of live in fear of that.
I walked down. This was again. It's about 2 months ago when it was still really hot in Melbourne. I walked to the beach with no shoes on, and the water. I'm talking like walking from the here to the beach is about a 7-8 minute walk, and you know it's just down normal roads across a main sort of road down the other side to the beach. For some reason, I just thought I'd walk it in barefoot. Because I was going in the sea and I was like, I can't be able to leave my shoes. I'll just take my t-shirt off, chuck it on a rock and then jump in. And it was so painful. Dude, that sort of 16-minute round
trip. Just like walking like,
it was literally just like, because there's just little stones everywhere. Like even on a sort of normal pavement, I'd every 2 meters, I'd sort of, it was really hard. I don't understand how, you know, when you see like, I know it's obviously built up over time. You know when you see like Kenyans running marathons in fucking barefoot and you're like, that
Zola Budd used to, didn't she?
Yeah. So like you just, in my head, I've always thought, well, it can't be that painful. And I literally had to just walk down to the, to like literally 8 minutes and I was in pieces.
Also, your feet aren't used to it, are they? Like if you did it every day.
I've got lovely
even
feet.
Even in the flat, if I don't have my slippers on, I feel like I'm in danger.
because I've got a fear of swimming in the sea, but that's I won't go swimming past when I've got to be the moment it gets above my chest, I'm like, I'm out, mate, I'm not going. That's where they live, you know what I mean? Unknown sea creatures,
their manner.
I think it's mental when people swim like my mate's a really good swimmer, and we were in like India and he just went off. He just swam out to the point where I could just about see him. And I was like, you're insane.
Done it in
he did get stung by jellyfish though. So
did he?
Jokes on him, yeah. And his legs swelled up to like the size of a tree trunk. I did, but that was another night after a few bits.
That's before he went out.
I was
that's when he was asleep on the first
I took
night.
I a shit on him. Just
fucking off trying.
That's why he went out
here,
to
mate.
Clean himself.
No, I didn't piss on him because apparently that is sort of a myth. It's spread by creeps. I dragged him off up the beach into a cafe, and they poured. Well, I think they poured vinegar on him, so there must be something in that acidic nature that.
Might be a thing. Then it might.
Yeah,
be
but I don't think it's got enough of a acidic content or something to be particularly useful. It would be better than putting water. Apparently, like putting salt water on it is better. And if you're in the sea, it seems a bit much to drag your mate out and piss on him when he's in somewhere that would help more.
I bet that fucking hurts a fucking jellyfish, doesn't it?
He got stung by loads. Yeah, he got like
loads of jellyfish.
Yeah, he swam
God.
Through a school of jellyfish, and they just his legs were just covered, and one of his legs swelled up to like that big. It was really bad. Yeah.
I was in Cardamino once on a lad's holiday when I was about 18, and I sat in a rock that was kind of protruding out of the sea, and all my thigh just went like brick hard from something that was on the rock. But then I was just like, oh, this isn't good. And then, but the people in the shops kind of on, I went into, weirdly, I can't really remember it properly, but I went into one of the shops and was like, or a supermarket, and said, what's happened here? And she gave me some of this like dark treacly syrupy stuff, put it on, and then it went down. So I mean,
you don't know what it was to this day.
No, I don't know.
What? But would it have been a bite or a sting?
I think some sort of bite sting reaction, sort of thing that was going.
My mate, I won't say his name. He's not a comedian, luckily. So it's not Jimmy McGee, but it's my mate. Got bitten on. He got bitten on the end of his dick while drying himself after a shower
by some chick.
By what? Some chick. What are you in an 80s film?
Some babe.
But by he described it as something that looked like a big earwig. And he said he was drying himself and he looked down and he saw it there and it just went, ugh, and it just dug its things into the end of his knob. He said it was so painful.
Oh, my God. Which country was he in?
This was in South London.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, brutal.
Oh, no, no.
I've never had anything like that in any. I got a bull ant once bit me on the ear or whatever they do if they bite. But it was the biggest ant. It was about fucking half an inch long. And I walked and accidentally scraped my head through a tree. I wasn't looking where I was walking. And I basically looked up as I walked through a big sort of a low-hanging bit of tree. I didn't realise it was covered in bull ants. And this big, I felt something on my ear. And it was a massive ant. And I went to knock it off. And as I went to do that, it just latched on like, fuck you. Like that. And it was honestly, this thing was that long. And I had a proper little tussle with it trying to get it to unlatch from my ear.
Mm. Painful. What, and it stung you, did it?
No, it bit in, it clamped on to like, so I couldn't pull it off my ear. Yeah, it's fucking aching. Didn't hurt much afterwards.
By a bee. I was saving my dog from a bee. Like a bee was on him and I was like whacking it away and it fucking stung my hand, man.
I can't remember.
I had to drive to Cornwall. This was at the services and my fucking hand was stinging like fuck.
I've been stung by a bee, but not since I was about, I remember it. I was about 2 years old, but I remember it being painful because I was two. But I don't know. In my head, I don't know how painful it would be on a scale.
It is painful. I mean, it's copable.
Do you know what I mean? There's pain, isn't there? There's that thing in my head.
Yeah.
I think because I remember it when I was two, it's right up at the top end of pain.
Well, for a two-year-old as well, you don't understand.
And exactly. But I don't know where it actually... I can't even get my head around where it would really be. Like, would it be a sprained ankle pain? Would it be a sort of, you know...
I mean, it's a stinging ache. Like, it feels almost like a needle's gone in you. Well, it has, I think, isn't it?
Well, it's sort of...
goes back to, like, you know, when you're a kid, like, the summer your first school summer holidays are, like, the longest thing ever.
Yeah.
You forget like about school.
It's the worst pain you've ever felt, you know,
yeah,
when you're a kid. But I love it how, say, you've got someone is probably at this very second now walking through a jungle or whatever and had that exact experience that you had with the ant on their ear.
Yeah.
And it's just all kicking off, like, just all these moments are just popping off.
Yeah.
I'd love to see some sort of montage of everyone has just been bitten in the last 10 seconds.
It's probably on YouTube. Probably be uploaded in an hour.
I just love that how, you know, it seemed like everything was quite tranquil in lockdown, but everything was still happening. Like, and people falling in love. All that. It's just it's all so alive, isn't it? And it's just like getting bitten and stuff like that. I guess it's, I mean, did it make you? You're like, okay, yeah, right, I'm still here, I'm still...
Well, there is something to be said for, you know, a little reminder that, you know, you forget sometimes that they are, like, insects and animals, everything, they're all around you, do you know what I mean? It's like, I sort of, there's a lot of, like, here, where I'm at my in-laws, and, yeah, Melbourne's not a spider area, really, but there's still way more spiders in this house than there would be back home in London. Like, and they're just all them little, they're quite thin spiders. I don't mind a thin spider, do you know what I mean? If anything, I'm quite fond of them. But, you know, every room you're in, you'll look around, there'll be a few knocking around. But they're very inoffensive, unthreatening spiders. But, like, them things of, like, sometimes it's nice to just remember that you might be in a house, but that house is ultimately built in nature. Do you know what I mean? They're everywhere. Everywhere, right around you now, there's loads of creatures.
I always go through a stage of about every 6 months of being like, right, I'm never going to kill anything in my life again, like through choice.
Yeah.
And but then, you know, you get those little kind of golden moths in your clothes.
Yeah.
And it just goes...
Punch you in the face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I always, you know, we don't know what reality is for them, do we? And I kind of, I don't know, it's so easy to get rid of them, though. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Can't you just grab it and, like, let it out the window?
It just comes straight back in there. Like,
I did that. I spent ages catching a spider once, and I didn't want to just squash it. I caught it. This is when I drove to my sister's about 1 a.m. because it was on her ceiling. And she was having a heart attack, and I got there. It was a really high ceiling as well.
Yeah.
But it was fucking massive. And I got it and I threw it out. I think it was like a Friday or Saturday night because it was quite busy outside. And I threw it out and I thought, I saved it. It didn't. And then some guy just walked past, some group of guys, well, someone just trod straight on it.
Oh, God.
I went, oh, man.
Yeah. I had a weird, you know, like when you're sort of, your brain just creates a whole story instantly of what might have just happened, right? I bought a bunch of grapes yesterday and I was in the kitchen. I put a bunch of grapes, just sat it on top of the fruit bowl. Like, they were still in a little bag. And I turned around, I was making a coffee and I heard this quiet sort of noise, like something rustling and then a thud. And I turned, and about, you know, a sort of a, maybe a quarter of the bunch of grapes had fallen out and landed on the surface. But instantly my brain went, do you know when you see films or see news stories about a massive spider that was in a bunch of grapes or bananas and it came out after, you know, in my head, I suddenly went, there's a massive spider who's just crawled out of that, knocked them over, and now it's in the kitchen with me. And for about 30 seconds, I was properly scanning the room thinking, I'm about to get attacked by a fucking, like, a massive tarantula type thing. But yeah, because I mean, I've seen like huntsman spiders and stuff, and even as somebody who's not scared of spiders, they are so scary.
I mean, they do get scary when they get massive, don't they?
Even though they're
I
not
think
that
bird
dangerous.
Bird eating spiders are the biggest.
Yeah, but they're not dangerous to humans. But
huntsmen aren't dangerous, are they?
No, they'll give you a bite, but they're not dangerous. You're not going to get any, you know, you're not going to die from it. But you'll die of shock more than anything. But, like, you know, the little fuckers are the ones that will kill you, the funnel webs or the red bats, whatever they're called. And even then, they're not really going to kill you. If you get bitten in the middle of the desert and you don't get any help, you might end up in trouble. But it's not like you're going
to
get bitten in the city of
Melbourne
and then
just
not go to the hospital.
Can you now? And they just, like, give you the antidote.
Yeah. So I don't think there's been a death by a spider bite in years in Australia.
Unless people are like allergic or something.
I'm pretty confident there's not been a death by a spider bite. I'm just going to Google this, sorry.
When did somebody die of a spider bite?
Yeah, let's have a look.
It's probably been 4,000 today on your road.
There have been no deaths in Australia from a confirmed spider bite since 1979.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Spiders are pussies.
It's
more
total
dangerous.
Myth. It's the anti-spider lobbying that goes on in the media.
What?
Flies have spread that rumour.
There's been more deaths from flies, haven't there?
I mean, probably. Or mosquitoes, isn't it, mate?
I mean, that's like crazy low, zero since the 70s.
Yeah. And that's confirmed. There might be the odd, you know, that says, in terms of like, they definitely died from that. There could have been some. There could have been a little cheeky one.
They might have been bitten
attack.
And then walked in front of a bus by accident. Boom!
Have you ever been attacked by another animal? Have you ever been bitten by a dog? Have you ever been... What's that?
I got bit by a dog year before last. Like, it's a really vicious little Jack Russell. And this woman, I used to see her and her dog. I used to have to put my dog on a lead because her dog was just crazy. And then I went to stroke. She was holding it and I was walking through the door and I went to stroke it. And I did. I stroked it and it just fucking bit my hand and it drew blood. And I went, and I'm like, typical England. I'm like, no, don't worry. No, it's fine. It's fine.
But you did try and stroke it. So you did ultimately approach it.
That's what she said. Well, you did try and stroke it. I was like, all right. I said it. I felt like saying, I said it's fucking fine.
Yeah.
Your fucking dog bit me. I could get the fucking thing put down, mate. Like,
I see, I'm sort of against that. I think if a dog just bites you out of the blue, fair game. But if you go to stroke a dog and it bites you, I don't think you should be allowed to.
But there was no warning or anything, though. Like, but yeah,
try to touch it without its permission.
I did think
it
was fine. It was only where she kept. She'd have had a go at me for it. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, you don't, yeah, don't
train
have a go
your
at
fucking
you,
dog, mate. Like, it fucking hurt, like a proper hit, like the bone in my hand, it went crack.
Oh, man.
Dogs do like certain people, though, don't they? And yeah. I'm not one of those people. I wish I was.
Do you find it, does it bother you that I know some people that dogs, that really want dogs to like them and they take it quite personally when they don't?
I don't know. I think it's the same with me and people. It always takes me a while to kind of feel like, okay, yeah, these person don't want me to disappear instantly. No. It's just, you know, maybe I'm just paranoid about quite a few things, but I think with the dogs, I feel like, you know, I'm not going to hurt them. I love dogs, but yeah. The love isn't like it. It doesn't come back at me as instantly as I give it to them, you know, which
yeah,
is unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, you know, why should they? You know, we've never met, and it's like,
I agree, because I'm not. I know, because people assume if you're a vegan, you're some sort of animal lover, who's sort of, and yeah, I don't. I like animals. I do, you know, but I'm not a massive dog lover. I think they're fine, but I'm not somebody who runs up when I see a dog and I'm all over it. Like, I think some dogs are cute, some dogs I ain't got any time for whatsoever, but like, yeah, so I'm not somebody who engages, you know. Some people see a dog in a cafe and they go over to it and talk to the owner, and they're like, what's their name? Like, I've never done that in my life.
Because have you ever had a dog though?
I sort of had a dog briefly when I was a kid, but it was my uncle and aunt's dog, and they owned a pub, and me and my parents moved into the pub for a couple of years my parents ran the pub, and they had a dog that was like the pub dog, and so the dog stayed with us when they moved out, and we had a dog for a couple of years. He was a very sort of gentle Doberman called Benson. Yeah. And he was nice. First time I met him, he attacked me, but we got on after that. Just that was him sort of, you know, feeling me out a bit. But it was good. I've got on with him, but again, it wasn't like I didn't love having a dog. I just hung out with him now and again when he was kicking about. But I don't know. I've never had that. I've never had that feeling of like, oh, I need a companion.
Mm.
If you have a dog, I don't know. They are amazing things. If you get close to one, that's just completely unconditional. They just want like hugs and just to be fed. It's nice.
That's what we all want, really.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just like,
yeah.
They just wear it on their sleeve, mate.
I suppose they don't. Yeah, that's the whole. Patrice O'Neill's got that routine about why he loves his dogs more than his girlfriend. It's just because they need him, but they don't pretend like they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny observation. But I get that.
It would be brilliant if humans were more like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I do. You know, I do. I've got.
We have to have our guard up more, I suppose, don't we?
Well.
Yeah, 100%.
We don't need to, but we do. We put it on anyway. Do we need to?
Yeah.
That's the big question.
But I mean, doing what we do when you stand up on stage and you're like, that's one of the only places where, or when I first started doing it, it was like, oh, this is good. I don't really have my, you know, it's a strange place not to have your guard up, isn't it, on the stage?
Totally. Yeah. I've always said this to people, like, I'm at my most, not honest is the wrong word, but I'm the least self-conscious I am when I'm on stage out of any point of the day. Yeah. Like, I am quite, you know, to put me in a social situation, I'm relatively shy and retiring. Like, if I don't know people there, I will sit there and not say a word until I'm engaged with, you know what I mean?
You're almost protected on stage a bit, aren't you? Like,
yeah,
you're allowed,
I suppose,
to be vulnerable.
There is that. But yes, yeah, so I will say stuff on stage, it's so embarrassing, and sort of things that I would, you know, that are shameful, but I don't have any shame when I'm saying them on stage, because they're just, because there's a reason to be saying it, isn't it? There's a purpose to it. That's what people were there for. Whereas you wouldn't just tell that to somebody. You wouldn't tell it to an Uber driver, would you? I'm sitting there telling them
about your piles.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't sit in an Uber and start asking them if they've had piles and what they used on it.
But I think that's why it's maybe why it gets slightly easier as well, if you're doing it to slightly, you know, like when I was if you're doing comedy to five people, it's a lot harder than it is to doing it to 150, isn't it?
Definitely.
Because then it's obviously more like you're just at the pub.
Their house or something.
Just rooming in a house party.
In their front room, stood in front of their telly. You know, anyone have piles?
Yeah, they literally can see the whites in each other's eyes and you're asking them to talk about it. Yeah, I totally get that. It's but gigs, yeah. What's the gigs? Are the gigs currently running at full capacity in the UK?
Not full capacity. There's social distancing and stuff.
Right. But they're not they're not crazily.
No, they feel good. Yeah,
that's good.
All right.
Again, I'm out of the loop. But what's the? I read a couple of scare stories saying that it's sort of, you know, this things are looking like there's going to be another wave and another lockdown and all that. Is there any truth in that? I don't know. I'm asking you two, like your correspondents.
I haven't been reading up on it. I've just heard things when they come on the radio or whatever. But the Indian variant, I keep hearing about.
Yeah. Mm.
I think yesterday was the first day in a while that there was zero deaths.
Yeah.
Well, COVID.
Of COVID. I wonder, there's not.
17.
I presume there's
bites.
Never been one of those when no one's died in the UK. Just yeah. Of anything.
I doubt it.
Do you think it fluctuates? Like some days there's loads of people die and then other days there's not quite as many people. Like
I
just
reckon
in general.
So, definitely.
There's got to be. I wonder what the average...
Like even the flu can vary like between like 2,000 a year or 30,000 a year. It's a big difference.
I wonder if they go up at Christmas because there's like more
drinking
pressure on people.
Yeah.
More like heart attacks and stuff like that.
I'm trying to see what it tends to get.
I reckon times
quarters.
Of the year are a big factor. Yeah. Like when, you know, January, February is a bit bleak and maybe suicides go up.
Cheers, mate. I can't see that. Weirdly, there's not a website that tracks the daily.
But the
death
suicide
numbers.
Rate's the highest in Sweden, isn't it? Because of the
it's a Scandinavian
daylight.
Country or something, isn't it? Where
you're Norway or somewhere like that.
It's one of them ones where like often it's got a very high standard of living, education, low poverty. Yeah. So on the whole, most things are like everything looks good, but then there's a weirdly high suicide.
There's a smaller
rate.
Window of like daylight, isn't there? I think that might.
Or maybe they got it too good, mate.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that. Went to Oslo and wasn't expecting. I didn't know about the daylight thing. Got off the plane 12 o'clock at night and it was light.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Quite obvious, but it was. I loved it.
Really?
I thought they had less daylight.
I think they were. It's that seasonal thing, isn't it? Some they go through phases where it's dark all the time,
and then phases where it's light all the time. But I mean, that'd be fucking weird, wouldn't it? Like a daylight at midnight.
Oh yeah.
Nightlight.
But yesterday it was really nice and warm here. It was it's just started to get. It seems like there's been this cloud that's just been over us for the last 3 months, and it's just kind of decided to pack its bags and go finally.
It was beautiful yesterday.
When
I was
left,
sitting by an outside pool all day, I felt like I was in Spain, mate.
Oh, nice. Have you got a pool?
Yeah, no, it was at David Lloyd. Like, it was at the gym.
It was a pond. That's what he calls them.
The River Thames.
Did you see on the news? There was that pool in London that's between two buildings. Have you seen the footage or photos of it? It went viral because it's mental. It's a very posh block of flats attached to another.
It's not in the West End, is it?
I don't know where it is. I'd have a look. But it's
the Oasis.
It's a swimming pool they've built between two skyscrapers. And it's totally clear at the bottom. It's all made of glass. So you swim across and you can just look down underneath you.
Scary. That glass better be fucking strong, man.
I mean, I presume it's been made by structural engineers, to be honest. I don't think it's just
trust
knocked
these
up.
People.
Just both flats. Should we knock it up for the summer?
It's got cling film bottom.
Yeah.
It's like a paddling pool.
Yeah, they just tied a paddling pool between them. But it looks
got a little leak.
Terrifying. Like, you know, I'm not I'm not terrified of heights, but I'm also not great on heights. I'm not one of these people that loves it. And that
I don't love it either.
Give me the wobbles, man. Makes me sort of makes me go all tingly. Do you know what I mean?
I went on a VR set for the first time at the weekend.
Yeah. They're fucking incredible, aren't they?
Oh, God. That got my stomach going. Being on there's one way. You go up this like a skyscraper and you've got to walk the plank.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. That was.
And then you put the VR set on.
But what was the, because obviously you know it's not real, but it feels,
I mean, the experience of it was so real.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like the IMAX, but even more intense, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when at the IMAX, when you go up in a hot air balloon.
I've only at the IMAX, I once saw Avatar, and yeah. I also then saw Transformers 2. Because I was drunk with mates and we decided to go to see whatever was on next at the IMAX, and there was a handful of tickets left for Transformers 2 and it was so shit.
Oh, was it?
It was just, I mean, but it was crap, and we were sat because the only seats that were available were the bottom left of that massive screen. So it was the most disorientating.
Did it make you a bit giddy and stuff?
Oh, it made us feel sick. Like, we're just four pissed idiots sitting at the bottom left.
I don't fancy that IMAX thing.
Of the biggest screen in Europe, whatever it was at the time. Just feeling sick, not knowing what's going on, just seeing.
Is that the one at
metal
Waterloo
smashed
in London?
Together. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't fancy that. The VR set, some people watch porn on it, don't they?
I guarantee they do. Yeah, of course.
I've never been to the cinema when I've been pissed. I don't think that's. I guess no.
It's a weird thing that me and my mates used to have a real tradition of doing because Wimbledon Odeon. We used to drink a lot in Wimbledon because we all lived in Southwest London. That was the nice bit to drink in, and the Wimbledon Odeon back in the day used to have midnight showings on Friday and Saturday of like action films and stuff. So it ended up being quite a funny thing where everyone would go to the pubs and loads of people would just roll into the Odeon. And it was almost like a screening where everyone was a bit pissed up and chatting. And it was really fun. Like, we saw some terrible films but had a right laugh watching them. Like, you know, I remember seeing Jurassic Park 3 and it was crap that everyone just took the piss
rubbish,
out of it.
Is it rubbish, is it? Because 1 was so good when it came out. I went to
1 was great,
twice.
2 was bad, 3 was dreadful. I think 3 was the one with Vince Vaughn, wasn't it?
Was it? I ain't seen it.
I think so.
The most immersive cinema experience I had was watching Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
And people were proper screaming and having a laugh. It was fantastic. I loved it.
It's, I remember that. I remember seeing Get Out in the cinema, actually. And it's similar. It was a real, that's what I used to love going to watch horror films in the cinema. Is the best on, like, you know, on a busy night. You know, I remember watching The Ring, the American remake, in the cinema, which is, you know, it's not as good as the Japanese one, but every single person was jumping out of their skin and scared, but the atmosphere, it created such a sort of atmosphere of terror. One of the best, even though I think it's a terrible series of films, but as a cinematic experience, Paranormal Activity, the first one, was one of the greatest things I've ever been part of. Like the whole cinema was screaming, like jumping in unison. It's quality.
I'd like to do that. That sounds
ghostly stories and stuff like that they just stick with me for days after. Struggle.
They've got that cinema in Cambridge where you're on a lake on a Lilo watching Jaws on a massive screen. Great.
I often thought
that sounds good.
It'd be good to do Blair Witch out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. When I went, I saw Blair Witch at Leicester Square and we drove, 4 of us, to Oxley's Woods afterwards at night.
Yeah.
I was fucking terrified.
Is that a thing that kids do now? Because I remember ghost stories being a real part of my childhood. Like, I remember, like, my older cousins would sit me down and tell me terrifying ghost stories just to scare the shit out of me. But I don't know if that's a real thing that young people really do now.
I've told my kids, like, scary stories. Do you remember the babysitter story? Calls coming from inside the house.
Oh, yeah.
That one, yeah. But not as much, I bet.
I used to love Point Horrors, though, when I was a kid.
Love what?
What's Point Horrors?
Point Horrors, the books that were, I think they were written by the same people who did Goosebumps and stuff like that. I remember sitting at, we had a table in junior school and everyone brought these Point Horror books in and we piled them pretty much up to the ceiling because everyone had about 15 each. That was good.
What, and then read them.
My cousin
See, I remember Hammer House of Horror. I used to think when I was a kid, someone told me that the films are so scary that people have died watching them. And that was just in my head so much. And then you watch it, oh, it's just like it was pretty scary when like Christopher, what was his name? Christopher Price or
Vincent
Price,
Price,
was
but
it?
it's Christopher. What's his name? Oh
It was
God.
like Dracula.
Yeah, and then he went on to he was in bloody Lord of the Rings and all that. But
Was he?
my cousin Craig, he's 3 years older than me, and he I used to go and stay with him up in Aberdeen, and he used to tell me the best. Like, he used to have so many good ghost stories. Like, and he once told me such. I remember it shitting me up, and then he played a prank on me afterwards. It was so good. He told me this story about how him and his mates had a sleepover, and they'd watched Twin Peaks, and like it was. He really built the story up, and I won't tell. I can't even remember it, but what I do remember was that when it got to the ghostly bit, it was about how there was like 10 of them staying in the house. His friends' parents were away, and they all just set up camp in the front room. So there's people lying on the floors, whatever. They'd been telling ghost stories all night, and it was all fucking scary. They all go to sleep. In the middle of the night, my cousin Craig wakes up. Everyone's asleep. He can see just everyone's bodies just lying around him. And he looked up, and there was just a dining chair just against the wall at the far end of the room. And he just saw a figure sitting on the chair, just a sort of outline, a dark figure of a man. And he just sort of his eyes just unblurred, sort of focused on the guy, and he saw it was just a man sitting there staring at him. And he said he was frozen with fear.
Oh
And he
my
said that, and the man just looked at him, just went like that, and went shh, like that, right? And he said he was so scared, he
I
just put
think
his
I'd
head down,
attack the man.
didn't make a couldn't make a noise. He shut his eyes basically until morning, until it just woke open. He looked up, and the guy was gone, and everyone woke up. So he told me that story, and I'm probably 11. I'm cold. I've got like, I've been shaking with fear hearing it. I'm staying on his floor. Like, he's got like a blow up mattress. I'm staying next to my cousin's bed. I went to bed that night, woke up in the middle of the night, looked at the chair in the corner of the room, and there's a figure on the chair, and I scream as loud, like proper scream. My cousin wakes up, basically wakes up laughing, and like runs and puts the light on. He'd set up clothes on the chair in the shape of a man.
Fucking hell.
Bloody hell.
It's so good, but so
I
scary for
think
an
I'd just
11 year
run at
old.
it and just fucking.
What, when you're a 10 year old, 11 year
No,
old,
I wouldn't if I
at a
was 10.
grown,
I'd probably
scary
just
ghost man
diarrhea
on a chair?
myself. Probably have an asthma
Yeah,
attack.
exactly, and die.
Just die of
But yeah,
fear.
you don't. Go
I
on.
had a really bad time in you know that gig in Hereford, is it?
Yes.
The courthouse.
I mean, that was a quite a tough gig for me. But then I was staying in
Someone in the front.
hotel. Someone just telling me to be quiet.
Was so bad then, I'll tell ghost stories about you at the gig. So what, and where were you staying?
It was called the Green Dragon Hotel,
Yeah.
and it was weird. I was just falling off to
Not a good
sleep.
name, is it, for a hotel?
No.
No. But I was just falling off to sleep, and someone said my name, and it wasn't like I heard a. It wasn't like I heard of just like a random voice. It was as if someone. You know, there's like quite a big difference when you feel like someone's actually speaking to you rather than just saying something, you know. And so I woke up and was like, oh, what was that? And then I was like, oh, come on, it's all right. And then I was just falling off to sleep again. And at the exact same point of just about nodding off, the landline rang. And I was like, okay. And I didn't answer it, I just pulled it out. And then in the morning, I Googled it, and there was all these stories of poltergeists
Oh, really?
In the hotel, yeah.
Shit.
And then I had another gig that night, and in the same place, so I was staying in the hotel again. And same thing. I was just on the edge of falling to sleep, and I can't remember what happened.
Scary.
So no, it was really bad. But in the morning, there was this little dog, and it was proper shivering, and the owner was really really concerned about the dog.
Yeah.
And I went to the reception and said, oh, is there a guest book I can sign? And she said, no, there isn't. And I said, all right. And she said, why? And I said, oh, no reason. And she was like, oh, did anything strange happen in your room? And I said, yeah, it kind of did actually. And she was like, oh, what room are you in? And I said, oh, 17. And she was like, oh, no, well, there's a poltergeist in room 23, but there isn't one in your room. Like, okay.
23 is not available. No, there's a poltergeist in there tonight.
I know, I can't believe it.
Traveling around.
Sorry, there's a demon in there, I'm afraid. have you ever had that sleep paralysis thing where you wake up and it feels like someone's on your chest?
I had that in lockdown one, yeah.
I've had it a couple of times.
I knew where I was, but and I just was paralysed.
But I've had it where I was in sort of a dream and then it happened, and in the dream it became a sort of figure on top of me, like strangling me. And then Hannah's told me she's been able to hear me sort of going.
Hannah told you that she was strangling you last night.
but it's gross. It's a pretty, when you're in the dream state, it feels horrific.
Oh, it's horrible, man.
Killed, but like,
why did you want to sign the guest book?
Leaving
your mark.
I just like writing in guest books.
It's like giving reviews to haunted houses.
This place is a shithole.
It's a good place to flex your comedy muscle.
Yeah. Good, lovely room. Bits. Shame about the ghosts.
The demons.
The ghouls.
Oh, no. We were staying somewhere the other day, and there was a pile of DVDs, and they had Calendar Girls in it. And it was like, oh, great. We can watch Calendar Girls. And then they opened the case, and there was no disc. Uh-huh. So someone had stolen the disc. So I put that in the guest book.
We stayed in a place in Byron Bay a couple of weeks back that was lovely, and like it was really nicely furnished, and I thought this is definitely like a sort of, you know, probably a middle-aged woman owns this place. Yeah, I mean, you try and sort of base, like, you try and create an idea of who owns it based on how it's been designed. But then the DVDs, it was like the DVD collection of 15-year-old me. It was all just White Men Can't Jump and all this, like the selection, the weirdest 80s 90s action comedies, like it was just made no sense. It didn't fit the decor whatsoever. So that's good for, it's a fun
she's
game,
probably though. Gone got them at a jumble sale or something for
probably, or he's just probably a guy, you know, who sort of was into that stuff and then grew out of it, like myself, you know.
What's Byron Bay like? Is that a bay?
It's quite a famous hippie area of Australia. No, I mean, basically it's weird in that it's super expensive Australian east coast, so it's just in New South Wales, so it's just south of like Queensland. Beautiful beaches. It's where like Chris Hemsworth has like a mansion there and stuff like that, so it's got that, but it's also full of sort of like dreadlock wearing crystal carrying hippie travelers as well. So it's this odd place where it's sort of like, you know, you would say a lot of it is the bad end of new age spirituality.
Is it a bit junky, like?
No, I mean, there's probably a bit of that as well, but I mean, in terms of like, you go into a shop and bloody buy your chakra bracelets for way too much money. That is, it's quite a commercial hippie area. You know, it's obviously, it's not full of actual hippies because you can't afford to be there. I thought, like, if you're a real hippie,
they're in the desert.
Yeah, mate.
They're in the woods, mate.
I was meant to come and do the Melbourne Festival last year for the first time. Obviously, didn't happen.
Well, how come you didn't do it?
It's great. I mean, Melbourne is you know, probably my favourite city. But in just the rest of the country, it's such a vast country. Everywhere is different. You know, you go from Melbourne to Sydney, and it's so, you know, it's, you might as well be in a different country. And you go out to the East Coast is, again, it's totally different. It's quite feral. Like Queensland, I love, but it's quite sort of a feral beast. You know what I mean?
What's the beach like that's 7 minutes from you?
Lovely.
Nice sand.
Really lovely.
White
sand.
Sand. Powdery.
I don't know if it's white. Yeah, powdery. What how many different types
big?
Of sand are there? No, it's not. It's a little bay, so you don't really get many waves. You don't really get sort of, yeah, you don't really get waves in bays.
That must be lovely,
you?
Though, just bowl down the beach.
It's very nice, yeah.
Are you doing gigs at the moment, Carl?
Well, we're in a two-week lockdown in Melbourne, so it's they're doing a snap lockdown because there's been a little outbreak of cases.
Right.
But, I mean, when I say outbreak of cases, compared to the UK, it's, I mean, there's like, I think at the minute there's like 60 active cases in the whole of Victoria. So
they're not fucking around then, are they? Locking everyone down. There's got to be more cases of the flu or pneumonia.
So they basically just, they lock it down to work out, right, to stop it spreading. And then that's what they did. They did one back
in February.
They don't
fuck around over there, do they?
They don't, no. But, you know, it's that thing, I think... Their plan is to keep a lid on it like this until everyone's vaccinated, and then they can just open things up. But their vaccine rollout's been slow, so there is, you know, it's a bit of a, it's been, it's not been the best. Well, you know, it's worked in the sense of, you know, I think they've had so few people have it over the last whatever 15-16 months, so it's
That's
obviously
good.
Worked better. But it has meant extreme, like, shut the borders. You know, the odd person can get in, like this fucking guy. But on the whole, you know, there's still, yeah, it's sort of, that's the only way to really do it like that, isn't it? Just shut the borders.
Yeah, man.
But
I had it. I got tested positive on Christmas Eve.
Oh, happy Christmas.
For what?
For COVID.
Oh.
Yeah, just being positive in general.
Just a
positive
guy.
Really
positive
guy. I was just in a good mood on Christmas Eve. Oh, you're positive today. Yeah, no, I love Christmas.
And did you get tested because you had symptoms or because of something else?
Yeah, symptoms, yeah.
So how was it?
What was a symptom? And did it feel, how was it for you?
I felt like I was getting a really bad cough, but the main thing was that all my skin was dead sensitive all over.
Right.
Like, even down to my feet. And I thought, ooh, that I haven't really had that before. So then I got a test and then came up. Yeah. And
was
then,
it a home test you did?
Yeah. And then just started to get more and more.
What did you do after that? Just went out to a party. Just went to see the family at the care home. You know, it was a nice evening.
The weirdest thing was is what you couldn't really put your arms up. You know, like if you were trying to just like doing a normal thing like making some toast, to put your arms up to get some jam from the top shelf of the cupboard, like you just go dizzy.
Right,
and, keep it on the side
really
if you use
out.
Every day.
Yeah, so from then on, yeah, I just kept the jam on the side and then that was it.
It's the biggest COVID tip, guys. Keep your jam on the side. How long did you until you'd recovered? So what was the sort of full recovery time?
It was about 2 weeks.
Okay.
But even now, I still get like flutters in my breath of you just lose your breath only. Only it's just like someone jabbing you in the ribs every now and again just to say no,
yeah,
I'm still here.
Gone nowhere.
I know there's people that are so skeptical about it, but I know a couple of people that are fit, healthy, younger. You know, when I say younger, I mean they're in their like late 30s, like 40s, or mid 30s, even one of them who got it, and they you know, again, they were wiped out for like 3 weeks. You know, it was way worse than flu. And now 6, 7, 8 months later, they're still having the odd little after effect. So like, it's, you know, I think that's obviously it's for those having friends that have gone through it like that made me just be a bit careful.
I was cleaning my teeth and I fell asleep. Not, and that's how tired I was. I didn't like literally fall asleep, like our heads on the sink. But you know when
a micro say, like, sleep.
I was just like, I just nodded off, and then I woke up instantly. I was like, oh god, this. And then it's stuff like that that gets your brain going. If you if you're a bit on the, if you overthink things anyway. But you know, it's I don't know. It was just weird. It was. Yeah. I feel like my body was like attacked quite severely, and then I'm all right now. But when you, there was someone in York train station yesterday with like an anti-mask badge on.
Yeah.
And I don't know what can you say, you know,
an actual anti-mask one or an exemption? And
no, it was a mask with a red line through it.
Right.
Fucking hell.
You know, like a no bomb thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that.
It's a funny bit of merch to make, isn't it? Imagine being the person selling those. You're onto a good deal. Just selling badges to fucking people. I mean, I find it. There was a very, very small protest here last week that was in Melbourne. And when I say small, I mean, you know, like on the, I get there's a discrepancy between the one, like when you see the pictures online to the news. I do think they underplay it a bit just for, you know, they don't want it to be like a big movement. And I think the London ones have been pretty big. And, you know, I think they sort of...
There was one on Saturday in London.
Yeah, it looked pretty big from the footage online, but...
I was going to a gig and my friend was getting on the train as I was getting off, but they'd just come back from it. Like they were really anti-mask. And I had a mask and they were like, what you got that in your face for? I did feel stupid.
I was trying to avoid you fucking dick. But, there was stupid. The one here was tiny. There was like 14 people like arrested or something.
But it's weird when you see the videos on Facebook and these people don't look like, you know, they look like, you know, they've got walking rucksacks on. They look like people who go to, I don't know, get their outdoor shoes from the Carrymore website, you know.
They go to the Lake District for a couple of days or something.
Yeah, and some, obviously it's a mix, but I'm like, hold on, what? It just didn't add up. And it was like, what is that? And then it's the algorithm, isn't it? So it's like, I mean, I don't, if you're listening to this, and I mean, everyone can think what they want. I'm not saying that I know anything more than anyone else, but it just struck me that how strong the algorithm is, because on my social media and stuff, I haven't been touched by any anti-mask messages or, well, actually, I saw that video for Trafalgar Square. But...
I see loads of it. I see loads, but they're not through the algorithms. It's more the fact that I've just got, like, you know, family and friends who are sort of big anti-mask, anti-lockdown types. So I can't not see it. If I open Twitter, I'm going to see it. If I open Facebook, I'm going to see it. But also, it just doesn't really bother me because I'm not that invested in anything to ever really fall. You know, I think it is, you know, I've not got the temperament to fall into any conspiratorial things because I can't give a shit enough. That's the truth of it.
One thing I do know is that the social repercussions of it, of this will be real, because even talking to you now, pre-lockdown, I was a bit better at talking. I know that for a fact. And like, all my stuff was just a tail off. And my brain was like, okay, right, you're going to say this, and then you're going to say, and then you'll say this, and that will be worthwhile saying.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm just like, okay, right, I've got a vague idea of something. And then, you know, and I felt like I was quite match fit before, because I would go to art centres, especially like I'm dreading the first technician I have to talk to try and talk him through my tech.
Yeah.
Never that complicated. But even if it's like, I was like quite a well-oiled machine, because I've been relentlessly gigging for quite a while. And then you get so much fit with it. And then we'll see. I don't know, but I do know that
you could write down like a little script or something just to get it in order. Look,
Got this. I wrote this down that I wanted.
That's right. Hello, how are you?
This was like the stuff that I wanted to say today.
All right. Have you gone through it?
COVID, fell asleep cleaning my teeth. my niece said when we were in the Dale, she said, how can there be a puddle here? And I just love that. like just in the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Went on a climbing frame for the first time.
And, ever?
Have you been on a climb? No, just since I was little. Have you been on a climbing frame recently?
I went on a climbing wall, official one, but it was in a children's park, but there was this weird sort of climbing, like it was about a 10-foot climbing wall. And
that
I did it
bouldering.
It was in Luxembourg and I was drunk. It was about 2.5 years ago. And it was great fun. So hard.
Well,
you've
been on like a children's climbing frame since I was a kid, I don't think.
No, just the upper body strength it takes to kind of, you know, those rope grids you get.
Oh.
Like monkey bars.
I tried to do monkey bars in a park about a month ago, and you think it's the same thing as of doing like a pull-up. I can do a pull-up, right? But monkey bars is so much harder. I'm talking like 10 times harder than doing a pull-up to go actually between them and swing.
It's good exercise to do that kind of thing, though.
It's so hard and painful.
You never know when you're going to have to hang from a rope ladder from a copter. Do you know what I mean?
It's true, actually. That's a good message to her. We do need to wrap it up because I need to go to bed. But that is, if ever there's a moral of this whole podcast, it's that. You'll never know when you need to hang from a from a rope ladder off a chopper. So yeah, we should wrap it up. But it's been lovely chatting to you, as always.
Well, thanks
Rob.
For having me on.
Thanks for coming on, man. It's been lovely.
People can find your stuff online. You did a podcast every day last year.
Yeah,
it was last year. I was almost going to say the year before there, but I realised now you started it every day of the year, and then the lockdown and COVID happened.
So it gave me time to do it. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, is it just you on the podcast or do you have a guest?
Just me, yeah. Just do like sharing the, like a short idea / piece of writing poem, nice. I guess, every day.
What's it called?
Rob Orton Daily Podcast.
Yeah. Cool. So there's 366, was it, you did of that?
Yeah, yeah,
series.
Yeah.
Well, you added a day to the year.
Yeah.
Leap year last year?
It was.
It's one extra. I was about to say it's one shorter, and I realised that it's the opposite.
What a year to give us an extra day.
I know. So people can find that, and obviously when gigs and stuff start again, they'll see you out and about, find you online.
Yeah, I'll be doing a tour.
Excellent.
Thanks very much.
No worries, man.
I'll see you on
in the real world.
Yeah, in the real world soon, yeah.
And any business, Julian? Do we need to do any admin? I don't think we do.
Thanks to all our new patrons.
Yep, we did a fun catch-up that went up there the other day.
We're doing a get-together soon.
Yes.
On Zoom with a lot of patrons come on and we just have bants.
Bants, fucking hell. Right.
What's this, 2018, mate?
All right, that's it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Rob, for joining us. And and we'll speak to you next time. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
You're actually changing the podcast.
I think you died of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm all right.